Number one that I think would solve a lot of problems would be stop making education political. In the last 10 years, education has become a political football, and that's probably the biggest detriment. But number two is reading. Get kids reading at home with their parents. Get an extra, 700 reading teachers, volunteers, schools all over the place, just helping kids learn to read. And learn that passion for reading. And part of that's just modern technology too. For somebody to sit down with a book for an hour and not do nothing but look at pages, it's hard to do when you're a kid and you're in front of it and you're in front of a tablet all the time. But I would think that would just be it. Just a nationwide focus on that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Jim Reif. Jim is the superintendent at New Auburn School District in New Auburn, Wisconsin, but only for about two more weeks. Jim is then going to be transitioning to the superintendent on July 1st of Prescott School District. Jim, also in Wisconsin. Jim, thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you here.
My pleasure.
So Jim, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into being a superintendent.
Well, this is my end of my 31st year in education, and I used to always say I would never be a superintendent. I taught for 19 years, mostly in Janesville, Janesville Craig High School. Taught a lot of algebra and a lot of biology, and the last 10 years of that, I was the lead negotiator and vice president of the Janesville Education Association, so representing a union of about 1,000 teachers. Throughout that time, I spent a lot of time working with teachers who were on challenges or on professional improvement plans, trying to help them become better educators and better for their students, but also from the union point of view, also make sure they're taking care of their fellow colleagues and doing what they need to do so the burden doesn't fall on the other ones. And that kind of led me into a strange way into administration. Wisconsin had Act 10. Which was going to take away all the bargaining rights of Wisconsin teachers. And that's still in existence. Unions are pretty much non-existent in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And we negotiated a 3-year contract, and I knew I needed to get as far to the right of the salary schedule as possible. So I started taking classwork, and that classwork was to become a principal. So then still taught for a couple more years, and then I went on to be an AP for a couple years, and
tell our listeners what an AP is.
Sorry, an assistant principal.
There you go. Thank you.
And did a couple years there. That was working still mostly directly with students, but when you become a principal, I remember sitting down one morning in August writing up my plans for the summer, and it really kind of bugged me that it's so bad that I had to go take a walk because I realized my job wasn't to take care of kids anymore as a principal.
Yeah.
My job now was to take care of the teachers and the staff and make sure they had everything. And it is a pretty big paradigm shift to no longer having that direct contact with teachers, or I'm sorry, with students.
Yeah.
And now you kind of work through teachers. And as the teachers have success, that's kind of how you have success.
1,000%. 1,000%. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I started my own company in 2018, Lighthouse Therapy, and I did the same thing. You know, I could serve 55 kids as an SLP, and I did it well and loved it. But I can't serve 2,566, but I can as a CEO. Same thing. Tough though. Oh, I cried. I did. I was like, I have to give this piece. It's like giving a part of yourself up, isn't it?
It really is. And that's kind of, the different thing too for me is I go to Prescott. Right now I'm a dual role. I'm a high school principal and a superintendent. Mm-hmm. We're a small school of under 300 kids in New Auburn. Mm-hmm. I have a therapy dog, Hank, that all the kids love. And I get to build interactions and see the kids grow. And, I can think of some kids that I've seen grow a lot in the last 4 years I've been here. Now, as I transition to Prescott, I'm going to be in a central office. I'll still visit all the schools. I'll still get to know all the kids or some of the kids, and I'll get to know the teachers. But now my job is now to take care of the principals and the special education directors and the finance directors and all the different supporting roles that are then, farther down the line. So It's a role I've been doing now, but I've been doing two roles where I've been the high school principal and the superintendent, and now I'm just going to be that superintendent slash CEO type situation. So
yeah. And how many students are at Prescott?
There's right around 1,240 kids. And yeah. Like a lot of schools around the country, especially in Wisconsin, the average school in Wisconsin is seeing a 4% decrease in enrollment every year just because people are having less kids than they used to. And the way the funding system works in Wisconsin, if you have declining enrollment, that is a big challenge. Our funding system has been kind of mired in 1995 when they redid everything. And since then, basically they capped your per pupil aid at whatever you're spending in 1994.
Oh, my.
So there are some districts in Wisconsin, like some of the, there's a school district called Bayfield up on Lake Superior, that year they were just doing a whole bunch of building. So they've been getting over $20,000 a student in state aid since 1995. Prescott gets $11,400. And there's about 40% of the schools that get even less than that, that are right around that 11,000 mark. And other districts are getting 20,000 because that was what was set in place in 1995.
And that's 30 years ago. That's 30 years ago. 30
years ago. And then 2008, they decoupled the increase in aid from inflation.
Oh, no.
The aid that we've gotten between 2008 and now is $3,300 less per student. So New Auburn just got done going to an operating referendum for $750,000 a year for 5 years. If we just kept up with inflation, we would have had an extra $960,000 and we wouldn't have had to have gone to referendum. So that's the big push in Wisconsin now is, how many schools are going to referendum.
Now, referendum means that you're going to the taxpayers and asking for money, correct? Yeah. Kind of like a bond?
And it's not to build buildings.
No,
it's
right.
Just to keep up with inflation, keep paying the lights, keep paying the teachers.
Yeah. And praying, was it successful?
It was successful. So New Auburn's good for another 5 years. Then they'll probably have to go to another one unless they fix the state aid formula, but they haven't fixed it in 30 years.
Wow.
And so Prescott's been really successful as well, passing referendums. But a challenge with Prescott is it's right where the St. Croix River meets the Mississippi River on the Minnesota border. And Minnesota has a much different funding mechanism. In the last 30 years, Wisconsin's gone from in the top 10 in spending per students down to in around 25. Amount must spend per students. On the same token, the tax rates in Wisconsin have gone from very high to very low. So the way that our legislature is lowering people's property taxes is they're stealing from public education.
Yeah.
And Minnesota doesn't have that challenge. So one of the things I'm looking forward to, it's going to be a good challenge in Prescott, is figuring out how we do all the soft things for teachers. How do we make sure we treat them like humans? How we treat them with respect? How we make sure they have a good working environment, good mental health? How we let them know that we're all part of a family and we're going to take care of each other? Because we got to do all that stuff, because all they have to do is go across the Mississippi River on the bridge and they can make $8,000 to $10,000 more for doing the same job.
Yeah, and it's right there. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And it's not so hard to get a teaching degree in another state, or a teaching certificate if you already have one. I mean, with some cross-licensing, but we cross-license people all the time. At one point in my career as a teletherapist, I had 13 licenses. 13, yeah. They're trying to do a compact, you know, like they did with nurses. There's an interstate compact for speech pathologists. And since I started this company in 2018, I wrote a blog about it and said, maybe 2019, they'll get it. It's 2025 and it's still not. They've passed them, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that'd be super helpful if they ever get it going.
I don't know how many states it is, but Wisconsin does have reciprocity with quite a few states. So
it's not the reciprocity that's the problem. It's the you still have to go through as a speech pathologist. Some states take 8 weeks to 12 weeks to 16 weeks to get a license. And when you've got a school that comes to you and says, we don't have enough therapists and we're desperate right now. Okay, well, we either try to find a therapist that's licensed in that state already, which if they're coming to us, it might be a challenge. And therapists are, they are a loyal bunch once school starts. You know, we can hire them right now, absolutely right now. And I'll tell you that right now, if you're a school that needs a speech therapist, hire a contract company now, even if you don't use them. And Lighthouse is one where we don't, you know, if something changes, we never charge a school. And that, I'm not trying to sell right now, but I'm just telling you, they move at semester or at year, and mostly they move at year. And if the only reason they're going to move mid-semester is if they're really, really unhappy or they haven't been in the schools, because we take care of our kids. You know, that's what we do, just like what you're talking about. Yeah. So it's hard if you don't get them at the beginning of the year and a school comes and they're desperate. It's we have to cross license. And then you're dealing with how long is it going to take to get that cross license? Mm-hmm. So same thing. Same struggles.
Yep.
Same struggles. Just different location, same struggles. So, but anyway. Yeah. So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to with this new move to Prescott?
Prescott has a very, very strong group of principals. They are, again, one of the lowest funded districts in the area, yet they're in the top 10% in the state of Wisconsin. Top school in almost all academic areas in the middle border conference, which is our athletic conference. I think a lot of that comes down to the principals and department heads, the whole admin team. I say principals, but that includes the SPED director, and you know everything else like that, food service director, and the whole bit. It's a very solid team. I'm replacing a guy who's been there for 10 years and has done a great job. I love that they really encourage the arts as much as they encourage athletics, and they have a great athletic team. They've won numerous state titles in the last couple of years, softball, golf, quite a few state athletes in track and field and other things. But they have an incredible arts program, musically, as well as the theater and stuff like that. And those give kids a place to belong.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, so important. It also gives them a place to belong where they can't be holding a cell phone. You can't be playing first clarinet and have a cell phone in your hand. You can't be playing shortstop or wide receiver or point guard and have a cell phone in your hand. And it really builds some of those real life skills. And so, but just a great program and a very supportive community. It's kind of tough because, you know, like I said, it's just outside the Twin Cities. It's a half hour to the Mall of America. It's 5 minutes from Hastings. But it's a really supportive community. They have passed two building referendums in the last 10 years, as well as a $1.2 million operating referendum last year. So they know what's going on. They know how messed up the state funding is, and yet they're still saying, we're going to support our kids, we're going to support our Cardinals. And it's a great little community. I also grew up in a little town of 7,000 people in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, called Anago. And Prescott's about 7,000 people, so it's a good size. Especially when you get the Mall of America in 20 minutes.
Yeah. I had my first experience with the Mall of America. We went to the conference, the MACE conference. I mentioned it before while we were off camera, but it was super fun. We had, my daughter and I had never been there. We're a family company, so, you know, she comes along with me. And John, our director, executive VP of sales, is dragging me to these shows because he wants me there. And I'm like, I think it's, you know, it's just my, I always tell him, I'm like, I hate sales. I'm not the salesperson. I just love what I do. You know, I love that. I think that my passion, if anything, is what sells it. But I'm not the one who wants to do the follow-ups and the calls and all of that. I just want to take care of the kids, right? I want to take care of the therapist so they can take care of the kids. But while we were there and before, we flew into Minneapolis and then we rented a car and drove up at Brainerd. It was in Brainerd, Minnesota. So it was a 2.5 hour drive, which we got to see a lot of Minnesota. But it was fun. It was really fun. We got to, and my son loves Legos, so we went to took lots of pictures of the Legos in the middle of the mall. It was so fun. And I'm a huge crocheter. I started crocheting in December, just this last year. I think I've made 20 blankets, and just because I enjoy it, you know, in my free time. So they had a crochet store in the Mall of America, and we sent a picture to my husband, and he was like, "No." But
yeah, they do have everything. And I more go to Minneapolis for some of the museums and,
yep,
and a lot of the great, wonderful, you know, we went to, Trans-Siberian Orchestra and a lot of
nice.
Like that. So there's a lot of great things there.
A lot of arts, yeah. So, yeah.
And then being right under Mississippi River, where the Mississippi and the St. Croix go together, there's a lot of boating and stuff like that that's around there. And that's wonderful, but it's going to be a good community. It's got, you know, great facilities, great bones. We just got to figure out how to deal with that declining enrollment.
What advice would you give to the super that's taking over where you are?
I spent the morning with Austin this morning.
He's already been identified.
So we've been talking on and off. We've had four or five different meetings, just like Dr. Rick Spacuzza has been doing a wonderful job for me in Prescott, getting me on board. It's a transition period, but we want to make sure it's as smooth as possible. Austin, I told him to trust his staff. He's got a great staff here. It's a small little district where everybody knows everybody. And to kind of stay with that bullet reference, you know, I always talk about, I've had a few principal jobs and I'm moving again. That first 6 months, I just try to treat it like a canoe. And I'm going to put my paddle in the water as little as possible, just a little bit of steering here and there, and just try to keep it moving and spend that first 100 days, you know, listening, learning. And then after that first 100 days is when you really start to lead.
Right. Yeah. You got to figure out what the style of the people is and how they react to things. And yeah.
What's working well, what needs to be changed, what doesn't need to be changed. Build some of those relationships with, you know, trust and rapport. Because until you have that relationship, people aren't going to listen to you anyways.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good. Well, so if you could, and you can't say money. We've talked about money a lot already anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you could miraculously change one thing in education besides money, which we know it needs to be fixed, obviously, what would it be? Just snap your fingers and it's fixed. What would it be?
I got two.
Okay, you can tell too. That's fine.
Number one that I think would solve a lot of problems would be stop making education political. In the last 10 years, education has become a political football, and that's probably the biggest detriment. But number two is reading. Get kids reading at home with their parents. Get an extra, 700 reading teachers, volunteers, and you know, schools all over the place, just helping kids learn to read, and learn that passion for reading. And part of that's just modern technology too. For somebody to sit down with a book for an hour and not do nothing but look at pages, it's hard to do when you're a kid and you're in front of a tablet all the time. But I would think that would just be a nationwide focus on reading. That's why I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
With all her extra money, she sends people books. God bless her.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. You learn to read and then you read to learn. You got to know how to read to be able to learn. Yeah, for sure.
And if you know how to read to learn, then you can teach yourself anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really, really true. I have my youngest is that way. If he has a passion for something, he just attacks it. It doesn't matter what it is. He finds something that he likes. And he's been doing this since he was little and just, you know, learns absolutely everything there is to know about that one subject that's fascinating him. And then he moves on to the next thing, you know. Mm-hmm. At one point, he was into fountain pens. And actually, one of them is still sitting right here at my desk because he learned everything there was to know about fountain pens. And I was like, okay, well, show me what, you know. And as a parent, you're supportive, right? And so I have several fountain pens from my son at that point in his life. And this was probably 5-6 years ago now. So, but yeah, it's incredible to see the passion. And when children know how to read and know how to research, boy, it makes a difference for sure.
It does.
Yeah. Good job. All right. So where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about either one of these schools? And I'll let you plug them both. How's that sound?
So Prescott is just prescott.k12.wi.us. Prescott is P-R-E-S-C-O-T-T. And then New Auburn, or as we like to say, is Nauburn, is N-E-W-A-U-B-U-R-N.k12.wi.us. So New Auburn has a famous guy by the name of Michael Perry, who writes a lot of funny books, New York Times bestseller. Probably his most famous one is Population 485, which at the time was the population in New Auburn.
Wow.
He tells about his day meeting his neighbors while he was working as an EMT. So.
Wow. Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your time. It's been a great conversation. And just have a great summer and enjoy that transition.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.